Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we want that to be the cry of our heart. We want the cry of our heart to be that you have your way with us. Lord, we don't know why you've chosen us to be a part of this redemptive story. We often feel inadequate. We often feel weak and tired. We've failed you. But God, we thank you so much for asking us and putting the responsibility on us to reach this world for you. God, I pray that you would be here today and touch our hearts. Lord, I pray that as Dan speaks, it would be your words and not his. And I pray that if we're struggling with surrender and struggling with this concept of letting you have your way in our hearts, Lord, that we would leave here different. We ask these things in your name. Amen. This morning, it's my privilege to introduce our speaker, Dan Searles. You may recognize his last name because his father is a professor in the math and science building, in computer science and math 120. Woo-hoo. Dan graduated from high school here in Jessamine County. He attended Asbury College, and he married his high school sweetheart, Katie Beth. That's pretty cool. As an avid outdoorsman, Dan loves nothing more than hunting, fishing, and enjoying God's creation. He even carves that creation out of little pieces of wood and has them displayed around his house. Dan has maintained these masculine pursuits in spite of sharing a home with Katie Beth and their four girls, Annie, Susanna, Sadie, and Abby, a house that is filled with creativity, imagination, and everything girly. When the soundtrack of Anna Green Gables gets too much for Dan, he retreats to the basement, locks the doors, turns on some country music, and refines his compound bow skills in his target practice down the long hallway. Dan has been impacted by short-term missions both as a participant and as a host missionary. Shortly after graduation, Dan and Katie Beth traveled to Hungary to teach English for a short term. Hungary got a hold of their hearts, and they returned as full-time missionaries. Since then, their home in Hungary has a wide open door for guests, both Hungarian and from all over, who come to help as short-term missionaries. Their experience on both sides of short-term missions has helped them integrate teams and individuals directly into ministry and facilitate very meaningful and spiritually impacting experiences. I personally have been blessed to lead three teams to Hungary working under Dan's leadership and witness how he encourages, equips, and uses volunteers to advance his kingdom, not his kingdom, God's kingdom, in culturally appropriate ways. His love for the Lord and his love for the Hungarian people is evidenced by the number of young Hungarians that he has taken the time to disciple and now who serve alongside him. He and Katie Beth are engaged in hosting home English clubs, youth club, summer English camp, and this last term they started a church plant from their home on the outskirts of Budapest. After a short slideshow, please join me in welcoming Dan Searles.
Would you bow with me this morning for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that is ours to come into your presence. And Lord, I ask that you might speak to us this morning. For Father, they don't need to hear a single word that I have. But Jesus, each of us needs to hear from you. So Lord, we pray that you would speak, that you'd give us ears to hear. And I'd like to ask each one of you with your head bowed and your eyes closed, just to say, Jesus, will you speak to me this morning? Will you open your heart to what he has to say? And Father, even now, we thank you for the things that you're going to do, and we give you the glory. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. And I know this is a little bit weird, but if you just put your hand up when you get there, that would be a big help for me. Now, while you're doing that, I just want to let you know what a privilege it is and how thankful I am for this opportunity to come and share this morning. Now, it was about 16 years ago that I actually went on a short-term missions trip to Australia and had the opportunity to come back and share about that experience. So I've really come full circle this morning. I'm not seeing a single hand. All right. Do we have Bibles here this morning? If you have a Bible, could you hold it up? At least let me know we've got that. That's looking good. I'd like that. And now, I know you guys know how to look up a passage of Scripture. What's the problem? Oh, I didn't tell you where you needed to look things up. Now, why are you assuming that's my job? I mean, come on. Can't you just go ahead and do that yourself? And, you know, there's a lot of other people up here this morning, and they never told you where it was. You're not giving them a hard time. Now, you would think I was absolutely crazy, or probably just out and out stupid, if I were to get frustrated, angry, to begin blaming you for not knowing where to open your Bibles this morning. Am I right on that? Because the truth of the matter is, I'm the only one who has that information this morning. You cannot do it because I have not told you. You'd think I was just nuts. But why is it that so many Christians tend to kind of sit around pondering, scratching their heads, wondering, why is it the gospel is not spreading? Why is it that the Muslim faith is the fastest growing religion in the world today? Why is the church not growing? When they have done nothing to tell the world what the world itself is so desperate to hear. You would think the very last thing that we would ever need to do is spend time reminding the body of Christ of God's calling to be salt and light in the world. Yet the sad facts are the average church spends 1% of its budget on reaching the world for Christ. The average Christian will spend more money on Christmas wrapping paper than they will spend on telling the world whose birthday it is that we celebrate each Christmas. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world in which the majority of people are facing a Christless eternity. And don't you even begin to tell me that hell does not exist or that it's some kind of metaphor, because I have seen too many people who are already living in hell to think anything different. Because the true horror of hell is not the lake of fire, it is not the eternal punishment. The true horror of hell is the absence of God. And I have to tell you, friends, there are way too many people in our world today who are living right now in that reality. And when they die, the horror of that reality will come to them so much more fully, but they are already living in hell. And unless those of us who know the gospel tell that good news to those who don't, they are going to continue to live and die without hope. From where I stand, you need to know that missions is not an option. It is simply the question of where God will choose to send me to be the salt and light that he expects for me to be. Is it going to be in my Jerusalem, in my Judea, in my Samaria, or is God going to send me to the ends of the earth? Now listen, I know that Asbury College is committed to taking Jesus to the nations. I know that from my time here. I know that from the five Asbury teams that have come to partner with my wife, Katie Beth, and I as we serve him in Hungary. And I think it would be wrong of me not to even pause right now and just say, Asbury College, thank you, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sending. Thank you for praying. Thank you for coming and being a part of what God is doing in Hungary. I'm not trying to lay some kind of guilt trip upon us. What I'm wanting to do is to make sure that our head is in the game and that we realize the part that we play in reaching the world for Christ. Because I believe the enemy of our soul would have us believe there's no real role for us at this stage of life. Yeah, okay, maybe when you graduate, get out there in the real world, whatever that is. You know, maybe when you start getting an income, have a salary, then there's a place for you to fit into missions. I got to tell you, that's just not true. You need to know that you mean so much to the missionaries that you are coming to serve with. And you need to know that you do so much for God's kingdom and his work on these short-term trips. I cannot begin to tell you how important a role you play in what we do in Hungary. You strengthen our hands as missionaries. You bring gifts and talents that we just do not possess. You reach into lives that so many times are just closed to us. You multiply our efforts, and you encourage us. Let me take a quick drink. Let me give you just a quick example of that. It's last summer at our English camp. We were trying to find some ways to really keep the teenagers engaged and to really be able to deal with some life issues from a Christian perspective with them. So what we did is we came up with a giant game of life, and it was way too cool. I mean, we're talking dice this big, the game board you could actually walk on. It was awesome. But one of the things we wanted to deal with was purity in your sexuality, because for the Hungarians, there is no waiting at all. And the idea that someone would save themselves for marriage for their husband or their wife is completely, completely foreign. So what we did is I shared part of my testimony, how my wife is the only woman I've ever kissed, that God kept me completely in a very extreme way in some ways for that day. And then Nathan Wagner stood up and he said, well, you know what? I never kissed any woman but my wife either. And there's another guy, Jeff Klewer, who's a married missionary over there, who said, you know what? I've got the same story. And each one shared a little bit of what was going on. Now, I don't even remember exactly how I asked this question. It was something like, is there anyone else here who can say that they have chosen to keep themselves pure for their wife? And right then is when I saw Shane's hand, Matt, Jeff, and David put up their hands. Each of them saying, I have. I'm doing that. And I cannot begin to tell you the impact that that hand had on those teenagers. Okay, it's one thing for the old married guy to say, hey, stay pure. But it's completely a different matter when the cool guys, the ones that they are looking up to, say, you know what? I've chosen that for my life too. That I've chosen to live in a way that glorifies God. I want to live my life his way. I cannot begin to tell you the impact that that had. Those raised hands were such an incredibly powerful testimony. Gentlemen, thank you for your commitment to God and for your willingness to lay it before the world to see. You made a difference that day, and I think it's a difference you have no idea that you made or how deep that impression went. You've strengthened my hand as a missionary, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Now, guys, do not fall for this lie that just because it's a few weeks, you don't speak the language, yada, yada, whatever, that God can't use you. If you come 100% committed to Jesus, or at the very least seeking him with a whole heart, he is going to use you for his glory and for his purposes. Right over there is where I was sitting my very last semester. In fact, it's almost right where David was sitting. Might have been one or two rows back. We were singing our class hymn. We were the messengers. The hymn was, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." And I remember just thinking, as we were singing through that hymn, God, you have made a tremendous mistake. And I had the audacity to tell him as much. I said, God, you have made a tremendous mistake. I'm no missionary. I can't save anyone. And he interrupted right at that point. Can you believe that? God interrupted me when I was speaking. And he said, what did you just say? I said, okay, God, what I said was, you have made a colossal mistake. I'm no missionary. I can't save anyone. He said, well, Dan, I am so glad you figured that out before you graduated. I'm like, well, figured what out? He said, Dan, you can't save anybody. That's the work which I have done. But what I need you to do is to be faithful in pointing people to me and walking in obedience in whatever situation, in whatever place I call you to. And Dan, if you can do that, I can use you for my purposes and for my kingdom's sake. And man, I knew that was something I can do. And I cannot begin to tell you the joy that flooded my heart in that moment. And I want to tell you this morning the same thing that he told me. If you walk in obedience and you point people to Jesus, he can do things in you and through you that you would never believe to be possible. I'm so thankful for those of you who've come, who've said yes. Every week, one of my teenagers is saying, hey, I talked to so-and-so on Facebook. Hey, I got an email from so-and-so. The continued investment that you've made in their lives, the impact that you've had, I don't know if you fully understand it, but I don't even really know how to tell you, but you make a difference. Please do not stop. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Work teams, mission groups are a lot of work for us as missionaries. They hold the potential to undo a lot of work that we've done. There is a danger involved. And you know, there's been a few people I should have probably put right back on the plane and sent them home, because all they wanted was a European vacation and have their church pay for it. But having seen all that God has done through those who have come faithfully to serve on these short-term mission trips, you just need to know that I definitely plan on continuing to invite and hosting teams, and I hope you continue to plan on coming, because we need you, because you make a difference. Now, concerning that passage of Scripture, let's try Matthew chapter 14. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Now, I love Peter. Preachers tend to give the man a really hard time because, I mean, he's just always getting himself into different fixes. But just think how boring the New Testament would be if we did not have Peter. I mean, think about it. We wouldn't have that whole great confession at Caesarea Philippi and the whole get behind me Satan thing. We wouldn't have Malchus's ear getting chopped off in the garden. I mean, that's kind of cool. And, you know, the whole dialogue with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It really had been kind of boring if it hadn't been for Peter getting kind of, you know, stirred up right there. And of course, we'd miss one of my favorites, our scripture passage this morning. There's no walking on water. Let's see what it says. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, and the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it's I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There's something about Peter that makes it so I cannot help but think that it may have been years later, it may have been the next month. You just never know with this guy. But I can see Peter with the rest of the disciples kind of gathered around the campfire, just enjoying the evening, talking to Jesus. And I can just see Peter kind of leaning over to John and saying, "Hey, John, you ever walked on water?" "No, really? You haven't?" "Well, I have. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I started to sink. Yeah, okay, that was a little bit pitiful. I'll give you that. But listen, it was no more pitiful than the rest of you, all white-faced, shaking, scared to death in that boat. And listen, Johnny boy, no matter how you cut it, no matter how you look on it, I walked on water. Yeah, I did." I can hear him saying it. And you know, we tend to want to give Peter a bit of a hard time for that sinking episode. But man, as I look back on it, I can't help but realize and think he was the only one willing to get out of the boat. Maybe they're the ones who deserve a bit of a hard time for sitting there. And I tell you this, I want to share this with you, because there's one thing you want that you need to know about me. Later in my life, if I'm ever sitting around a campfire, there is something within me that longs to be able to lean over to the person next to me and say, "Hey, you ever walked on water?" Because I have. I want to know that experience. And you know, I have to tell you, probably the number one most exciting thing, maybe my favorite thing of having a team coming and ministering with us in Hungary, is watching the one or two who get out of the boat, who look Jesus square in the eye and say to him, "Despite the wind, the waves, despite my fears, I am going to trust you, Jesus, to do something within me and through me that is impossible for me to do." Now, I realize for some, just being in the boat is all that they can muster. And I'm thankful for their coming. Don't get me wrong. But there's some, if they're willing, they're going to let Jesus call to them and say, "Come." And they're going to step out of the boat. And man, that is something you do not want to miss. There was a girl who came as part of a team. We had a session on how to lead someone to Christ. The importance of what to do, we went through the session. After the session, she came up to me with just absolute fear in her eyes. And she said, "Dan, there is no way that I can do this. I can't do what we just talked about. There is no way I will be able to. And yet, brothers and sisters, at that camp, three different people, on three different occasions, she led them to Calvary, where they met Jesus and found salvation. She got out of her boat. And listen, this was her first time out of the United States. This was her first missions trip. And her mother did not want her to go. She gave her so much grief for being a part of this team. Believe me, the boat was plenty scary enough for her to just get in. But she did not let the wind and the waves of her fear keep her in that boat. She stepped out and found the firm foundation of the Rock of Ages beneath her feet, though everything she looked at was a churning sea to her eyes. And I can't help but think that if a day ever comes that she finds herself sitting around a campfire, starts to maybe reminisce about hungry a little bit, there's going to be something in her that wants to turn to the person next to her and say, "Hey, you ever walked on water? There's a world that is waiting to be told. And the story is ours to tell." Brothers and sisters, get in the boat, because God will take you places that you have never dreamed he could take you, or maybe that you've never dreamed you could go. And if you said to him, "God, can you use me?" Don't be surprised if he answers back, "Come." And on that day, I want you to know that it is my prayer that each of you will feel the firm feeling of water beneath your feet as you step out of that boat. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I don't think we want to live in the boat. We want to live in the place where you are free to do things through us and in us that we did not believe possible. Father, I thank you for the commitment that is here to taking you to the nations. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen us in the role that you've given us, that you'd help us as we go forth. And Lord, I pray that many, many here would know what it's like to feel the firmness of the water beneath their feet. Be glorified through us, Father. Amen.